I'm going to begin this morning with an obituary. Is that okay? It's an obituary of Mrs. Prayer Meeting. Mrs. Prayer Meeting died recently at the First Neglected Church on Worldly Avenue. Born many years ago in the midst of great revivals, she was a strong, healthy child fed largely on testimony and Bible study, soon growing into worldwide prominence and was one of the most influential members of the church family. For the past several years, Sister Prayer Meeting has been failing in health, gradually wasting away until rendered helpless by coldness of heart, inactivity, weakness of purpose, and willpower. At the last, she was just a shadow of her former happy self. A post-mortem showed that a deficiency of spiritual food coupled with the lack of faith, heartfelt hope, and general support were contributing causes. Only a few were present at her death, sobbing over memories of her past beauty and power. What starts off like a joke doesn't end like a joke. Church, we cannot let prayer die. If you do not realize prayer has weakened in the church, we've turned it into token prayer. We've turned it into moments of prayer instead of a lifestyle of prayer. Prayer is about our connection and our communion with God. And this morning I want to talk about prayer in action. I don't want to just talk about prayer, but this morning as I do a brief teaching, we're going to pray this morning. My comments are meant to be instructive today, but they're brief so that we can engage in prayer this morning. If you're visiting with us, the service will probably not reflect a typical Sunday, but I do feel that prayer is important, and it's important for us both corporately and privately. Prayer is basically the means of what I want to see happen, and I believe God wants to see happen today. And I hope that everyone, visitors and our regulars, I want you to join in as we call on the name of the Lord, and we believe for His will to be done in our church. As we believe for His will to be done in our lives, in our families, in our cities, in our nation, in our very personal lives, we need to be a praying church. Amen? Amen. Luke 11, verse 1, teaches this. It happened that while Jesus was praying, who is our greatest example? And what did he do? He prayed. Well, it happened while Jesus was praying in a certain place. After he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.'" And then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me from a journey and I have nothing to set before him.' And from inside, he answers and says, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is a friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs." Verse 9, "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Heavenly Father, this morning we bow our hearts in prayer before you. We humble ourselves. And I ask you, Lord, to teach your church to pray again. Teach us to be effective and to help us see you and see your word and your will and your desire for everyone who calls upon your name. Lord, help us to believe again in the power of prayer and know that you do hear us and that you answer prayer. This we ask in no other name than your wonderful Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us, pray without ceasing. Church, I believe God wants us to be a praying church. In this passage where Paul tells us to pray without ceasing, he is teaching us to continually have an attitude of prayer, which I believe is important. Every moment of your life, you say, well, how do I do this? It's every moment of your life when you leave this place, it's like, Lord, thank you for helping me down the steps. Lord, help me. Thank you for getting me to the car. Lord, by the way, thank you for my family. Thank you, Lord, for watching over us. In fact, I need you to protect our car as we go home. Lord, I want you to watch over the food and bless and nourish our bodies today. God, oh, I thank you for all that you provided for me, the joy, the entertainment, the things we have. It's continually praying. It's walking with an attitude of prayer. Pray without ceasing. Church, we need to walk in this kind of way because he who keeps his mind stayed on him, he keeps him in perfect peace. And most people find they're in stressed out, they're struggling, and they don't have any peace because they're not focusing on the Prince of Peace. If we get our hearts turned and pray without ceasing, I'm sure that if I took a poll this morning in this place, I'm positive that more than a majority of us, and probably most of us, would say we do not pray enough. How many agree with that? Be honest. We do not pray enough. I don't pray enough. You say, well, that's Pastor, what's wrong? Because I need to pray more. I don't pray enough. Ephesians 6:18 teaches us, and pray in the Spirit. You need to understand, as Pentecostals, I do believe this means pray in tongues, but more than that, it's praying with the Spirit's guidance. It's praying, saying, listen, if he sent his Holy Spirit to dwell in us, to guide us, and to lead us into truth, why shouldn't we rely on him? And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray on all occasions, whether it's a public occasion, a private occasion, secret, social, or something sudden happens in your life. Pray. And do so with all kinds of prayers and requests. But church, we can only do this with the help of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to lead us. In 1 Timothy 2, Paul exhorts Timothy to teach the saints the importance of prayer. 1 Timothy 2, 1 to 4, here it is. I urge then, first of all, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people. Verse 2, for kings and for all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Verse 3, this is good and pleases God our Savior. Verse 4, who wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. In this passage, Paul expresses urgency in the matter of prayer when he's saying, I urge them first of all. Church, the need for persistent prayer has never been more urgent than now. Prayer is important whether it is petitions or requests, intercessions, or even thanksgiving. We pray our thanksgiving. And Paul tells us that this kind of praying needs to happen for all people. We need to pray for one another. We need to build one another up. We do that when we pray for one another. Paul also addresses the issue of praying for those in authority, for those that are in leadership in our government. If we have a desire for our country to be safe and to reap the benefits of a healthy government, then we need to pray for our government leaders. If we want our president, our senators, our representatives, our Supreme Court, our governor, our civil leaders to make good decisions, then we ought to be praying for them. And not only are we told to pray for them, but we're given a reason why we pray. It's verse 3, this is good. This is good. And it pleases God our Savior. Praying pleases the Lord. Church, He created us to communicate with Him. And the bottom line, as we're about to go back to, is for lost people. Remember that sin is what separated us from God in the Garden of Eden. But there is a story that we call the gospel, the good news. See, it was sin that took the personal relationship away. But God made the personal relationship available again through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have that personal relationship with Him. And in any relationship, in order for it to remain open, you must communicate. And in order to keep our relationship with Christ open, we must pray. This is how we communicate to God. And when we pray, we need to remember those who are unsaved. It's not just, oh Lord, thank you for what you've done in me, but God, there are others you need to save. Listen, God does not force Himself on anyone, but it is God's desire for everyone to be saved. That's why He says, pray for the unbelievers. Pray for the unbelievers, you know, that they will come to the truth and the saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In our opening scripture, it told us to ask, seek, and knock. We need to ask, church. Ask, and it will be given you. Church, what is so hard about asking? We grew up as kids doing it very well. And still, they don't ever grow up. It's just part of. What's so hard about asking God? It says, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Church, if we'll seek God, we will find Him. And then knock and it'll be open to you. God's doors, you need to understand, His doors are not locked. They're always unlocked. He's just waiting for you to knock on them. And He'll open them up. Open up the things of heaven in your life. Just a side thought and a hint to your own life, praying. When praying for direction, you need to know any door that you knock at and it doesn't open, then it's the wrong door. You need to know that. You need to remember that God, though, is also not a respecter of persons. People go, well, God won't hear me. God does not limit answered prayers to certain people. He responds to those who ask, those who seek, and those who knock. In Matthew 21, Jesus, in verse 22, tells us this. And all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Church, when we pray, we must have faith, believing that God is going to answer prayer. Of course, we want Him to always answer according to His will and His plan. Amen? In fact, James gives a caution. In James 4:3, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. God wants to answer your prayers, but He's wise enough to not answer self-centered desires that can bring about destruction in your life. Church, we need to have pure motives when we pray, because these motives have to line up with the Word and the will of God. And when we know the heart of God, we begin to pray by faith. James 5:15 teaches this, and the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, they'll be forgiven him. I truly believe today that healing is still for the church. I believe the stripes that Jesus took were for our healing. The full atonement of the cross, when he went to the cross for us and he died upon that cross, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ provided salvation and healing for those who believe and have faith. Jesus told us in Mark 11:24, therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them and they'll be granted you. Have faith when you pray. And church, don't grow weary. Be persistent. There's a couple of stories in the Bible. I won't take time to go through them all, but Luke chapter 7, you can go back and read about a centurion who had faith. Here's his faith. He has a servant who's sick, so he sends other servants because he hears about Jesus. Those servants go to Jesus and ask him to come. And so Jesus is on his way. And the Bible says he actually sent out other servants to meet Jesus at that point. And this is what they told Jesus. They said, he said, you just speak the word. You just speak the word and my servant will be made whole. He says, I'm a man under authority. I understand authority. And the man's not even there. You go read it for yourself. It's incredible. But Jesus at that point says, I've never heard of such faith like this. And by the way, he walks away and they go back and the servant's made whole. Faith. But you say, well, I don't have that kind of faith. I'm glad because Jesus also helps us over in Mark chapter 9 with another story. A man has a son who's filled with an evil spirit. It doesn't know what to do, hears about Jesus, comes to Jesus. But in their conversation, we find out the man says, help my unbelief. There's a place where we struggle. I believe, but help my unbelief. In church, we've been called, though, to have faith. And my faith is not in my words. It's not just in my action. It's in Jesus. And you need to understand, just because maybe your prayer isn't answered right away, that doesn't mean God will not answer it. It's just that we need to persevere in faith and trust His timing. In my closing thoughts this morning, I want to ask the worship team to come. I want you to listen to John 14, verse 13 and 14. He says, Jesus says, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. I will do whatever you ask in my name. That's a powerful statement. There's a reason, though, and we're given that reason again, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Why will prayers be answered in Jesus' name? Because it brings glory to the Father. And then when we see answered prayer, what should we do? Praise and glorify the Father. You see, answered prayers are really just testimonies to the glory of God. I don't know if you remember, I grew up in church where we used to have testimony. I'll be honest, some of the testimonies, I'm not sure what they were. But there were a few of them. They stood up and they began to testify to what God had done in their life. And I'm telling you, we want to hear the glory to God. This morning, we're about to move into prayer. We're going to actively action prayer today. I want to wrap up by looking at the instructions again in God's Word. Number one, I want to refer back to is 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. There are a lot of things that want to distract us in church. Sometimes it's our friends. Sometimes it's perfume. How many have ever been distracted by perfume in church? That's not a joke. It's a reality. I try to guard what I wear because I don't want it to be a distraction. I guard that because I want to make sure that the attention is toward heaven. And church, I want to make sure that I can remove the distractions so I can pray without ceasing. Keep my mind stayed on Him. Ephesians 6, and pray in the Spirit. I don't want to just avoid the Holy Spirit and just all of a sudden we're acting on our own. I want to be led by the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And we're going to do that this morning. There's several categories that we're going to pray for. And with this in mind, be alert. Be alert as you pray. All right? And always keep on praying to all the Lord's people. This morning, the Lord may put something on your heart. You may see someone because of your alertness. You might be able to slip over and pray with them. This is where we respond as the Spirit leads. Matthew 7:7. Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. Matthew 21:22. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. James 5:14. Is anyone among you sick? Then let them call for the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. Luke 18:1. It's a great chapter. I encourage you to go read it, Luke 18. But 18:1 says that Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray. How often? And not give up. And then he tells a parable of a persistent widow, similar to the other story of the friend, but the widow is persistent. I don't know why it seems like we have to do that, but that's what we've been asked to do. There's a second part of he goes into another story of a Pharisee and a tax collector. They both enter into the court, and the Pharisee is like, oh God, I'm glad you love me. I'm glad I'm part of your family. And then there's the tax collector. It says he couldn't even lift his head. He bowed his heart and he felt his unworthiness. And he tells the story. He says, you know which one the Lord heard? It's the one who was humble. I want to be careful. I'm not walking in going, God, you got to do this. God, you got to. I'm your child. No, God, I am your child. I humble myself, but I'm asking for your will, your word to be accomplished and done. But Lord, as your timing, as your purposes, but I also by faith believe it can happen now. There is a place where I speak life and faith, but according to his will and his word. Church, I want us to be persistent. We're going to pray over several areas this morning. I'm already going to let you know there's places I'm going to call you forward. I asked you last week, those who were here, prepare your heart. I got to thinking after first service, we had a powerful time at first service. I'm telling you, I made the comment, I said, what would happen if you walked out of here and prayed all week? What would happen if you walked in the church next week, prayed up? I'm telling you, it will change your situations, it will change the church. You say, I want God's will to be done, then let's communicate to Him, because that's what I desire. I'm asking you, I'm calling us to prayer, not just today. I'm calling you to pray without ceasing. This morning, we're going to begin with some worship. I just want to get our hearts tuned back into Him, get our minds set on Him. Is that okay? All right, you can stand, you can move, you can go wherever you want. We're just gonna kind of get our mind on Him. Pastor Matt, help us out.
I'm filled with wonder, lost of wonder.
Mention of His name,
the mention of Your name.
Are you filled with wonder today at the name of Jesus?
Filled with wonder,
awestruck.
Awestruck wonder at the mention of Your
name, Jesus
to name His power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. It's holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty.
nation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Amen. This morning I've asked Pastor Grant to come, and we're going to pray for our government. The Bible says to pray for the kings and those in authority. And that's what we're going to do this morning. So just kind of set your heart in tune, because there are things heading our way that we need to pray for them. Pastor Grant.
Just ask everyone to stand this morning. We live in the greatest country on this planet. God has blessed this country. He's blessed this nation as we started. Regardless of how you feel about government officials over us, Word says it doesn't matter how I feel, it profits you nothing. It's the Spirit that gives life, John 6:63. There will be times when you'll be frustrated because of the decisions that are being made. The Bible says to pray for them. Judges will make decisions based upon, in this country, based upon who we voted in. Going back to the book of Genesis, judges made decisions that put iniquity as law, and Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. In the book of Daniel, Daniel broke down. He says, because of what the judges have done, there's going to be a curse put on this land. He said, but we're going to still pray for those judges over us. We're still commanded to pray for those in authority over us, because God raises up and he deposes anybody he wants to. It doesn't matter what we think, feel, or what, but we have to do what is right. Paul wrote Timothy, he said, this is a faithful saying, it's worthy of acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of who I am the chief. You know that God wants everyone in government saved too? Pastor, that can't be true. Oh yeah, it's true. Everybody, it's for everybody. He was on chapter 2 of 1 Timothy. He said, therefore, church, I exalt you with all supplications, prayer, intercessions, and giving thanks be made for all men. That means for all kings, for all those in authority, that you and I, those who are followers of Jesus Christ, may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. That doesn't mean everything's going to be perfect. That means God says you did your part. Verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, who will have all men to be saved. His desire is that all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of truth. We're going to be praying for them to be saved first and foremost. And then regardless of what they think or feel, that God is going to change the hand because the church is praying. He said in verse 8, then I therefore ask that everyone in prayer lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Do not be wrathful versus government officials right now in Jesus' name. God loves them. But I'm asking, as the scripture says, everyone lift up holy hands, and we're going to pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, you see your people, and the word says, if my people, if the followers of me would humble themselves, if they would humble themselves, if they would ask for forgiveness, if they would do those things, then I will start healing their land. It is on the church, it's on the church what is going on right now in this country. So, Father, right now, I stand right now and say, Father, forgive me for the times that I blamed other people for what we're going through. Father, I need to do my part, and I need to pray for those in authority over you. Father, when I vote, I need to vote righteously, because when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. Father, may we not stick our head in the sand and say, whatever God's will is. No, your will is that we pray and to have righteous people in authority over us. So, Father, right now, I lift up President Obama, as the word says, first and foremost, above any decisions he's making, he needs to have Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So, Father, I pray for our president. It's not your will, it's not your desire that anyone should perish. In Revelation 22, it says the bride and the spirit are now saying, come. And for those who thirst after you, come drink. And, Father, I pray for Vice President Joe Biden. In the name of Jesus, he comes to a saving knowledge of who you are. Father, I pray for our own Governor Rick Steyer in the name of Jesus. Father, give him wisdom beyond his years. Father, give him the desire to lead passionate from the Word of God. Father, I pray for even the born-again, Spirit-filled believers in this country who are in places of government. Father, I pray that they get a backbone, that they stick strong. Father, and they occupy till you come. And Father, I thank you for even the selections and choices now that are coming up as godly men and women are rising up all around this country right now. Father, I pray for Ben Carson. I pray for Senator Ted Cruz. Father, I pray for Governor Walker. I pray for anyone who says I'm a follower of Jesus Christ and is competent and can rule this land. Father, may the church rise up and start praying for these people. Father, may we be a church again that's on fire. There's no separation of church and state. We are one body. We are one believers in this country, Father. We need to get back to you. So we lift them up today in Jesus' name.
Amen. So be it. Amen. Because of our leadership, though, there are things that have happened. And this morning, I want to pray for our students. If you're in junior high or high school, I would invite you to come right now. If you're going into any of the junior high or high school, I want you to come. I'm going to do young adults in a moment. This is high school. High school and junior high. Amen. And parents, I'm going to ask you to come and join your children. You guys are living in a culture that we used to kind of say as parents, well, we've been there. I'm telling you, we haven't. You are going through things and challenges that we don't face. Our schools are teaching things that are opposite to the Word of God. And I know you're watching and viewing things, but I want you to know the Word of God lives in you. And let me tell you, what teachers can't do, you can do. You can boldly proclaim Jesus Christ in your school. And I know you're saying, well, but boy, we're going to be persecuted. So be it. You are a child of God. You have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You have been bought with a price. You are beautiful in His sight. And I don't care what comes. You say, well, you're not having to walk it. I have to walk it with my own kids. And I'm telling you, you can speak things that we can't. And I'm asking you, be unashamed. Be unashamed. And those who are in Christian schools, let me tell you, I know they're not all Christian. And you need to rise up as the leaders and the influencers of life and hope. And I want you to stand bold. I'm asking you to begin to be kids of prayer. I want you to be junior hires that walk through the hallways recognizing, Lord, touch them. Lord, save them. Lord, heal them. And maybe the Lord will speak to you to go to them. But I want you to walk that way. Pastor Scott, would you come? I want you to lead in prayer over our youth. And I'm telling you, I'm asking you, be people of prayer. Amen? Parents, I will also remind you, they are imitating you in the home. The home is the foundation. Listen to me. If you're thinking church for an hour and a half is going to do all your spiritual work for you, you are wrong. You are the home. The church supplements the celebration that should be in the home. And that's why I call us together when we're corporately together. We're going to pray over you. But I'm telling you, take it back to your home. Get back on your knees with your kids and pray with them. Pastor Scott.
Father God, Lord, I just thank you for these students that you have blessed our congregation with, Lord, that you have given them so many talents and abilities and giftings, Father God.
Amen.
Lord, that we have just been able to see them grow in all these different things that you have empowered them to do. And Lord, I just pray that as they prepare to go back into their schools, whether junior high or high school, Father God, whether public or private or homeschool, Father God, Lord, I pray that they would be individuals who will stand up for what is right. Lord, that they will walk into their schools. Lord, they will be a light to their schools. Father God, Lord, that they would bring truth back into their schools. The government may have said that we are not allowed to pray in schools, but Father God, Lord, I pray that they will go in there and they will make a difference. Lord, that when their friends see them, when maybe their enemies see them, Father God, whether people who don't even know them see them, Lord, that when they see them, they will see light, they will see hope, they will see joy, they will see peace. Father God, Lord, I pray that they would see them as individuals who will rise up and impact this nation. Father God, Lord, this is not a group of people that will affect this church or affect the government or affect the world in the future, but Lord, they will affect it right now. Lord, I pray, Father God, Lord, that they would be leaders that would challenge us, even as adults within this place, Father God, to push forward your agenda and your will, that, Lord, they would be so passionate as they pray. They'd be so passionate as they go forth into this world, Father God. Lord, that they would challenge even us to do more for you than we ever have before. Lord, that you would give them every single thing that they need as they go forth into this crazy world that we have right now. Lord, that they would win people to Christ. Lord, that they would start a revival that would turn our cities, our state, our nation back to you, because they would passionately seek your face above anything and everything else. Lord, that everything else in this world does not matter, but you and your gospel and sharing that gospel is what matters more than anything else. Lord, so I just pray this very day, Lord, that you give them every single thing they need so that they can go out and make a major, major impact for Jesus Christ in this world.
Amen. So be it. Amen. Amen. If you're a young adult, I want to invite you to come. If you're going into college or in college and you're up to 25 years old, married or not, I want you young people to come. We want to pray over our young people. Amen. Thank you. Parents, come and join with them. You guys are living in a culture that, I'll be honest, I do not understand. It's hard for me to connect at times. You've been in the church, and I know that you see both sides of it. You see this God side, and you see the world side. I pray, and my prayer for you is that you would stay strong, though, in your faith. You are in a culture of time that, in the church, you can understand this. You're in the age that we lose most of you during these years. We lose